The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good evening. Good being here. It's always an honor and a privilege, and it really feels sometimes like you're getting home. And it's really, I love coming here, love spending time here. And especially in this time and season that we have stepped into now, it is an amazing time. It's really a time for the sons of God to really rise up and to really to manifest. So let's just, Father, we just come and we welcome you. We honor and acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We acknowledge your kingship, your lordship. We just come, Father, to glorify you and to lift up the Godhead three in one. We welcome all the angels and clouds of witnesses, men in white linen, heavenly beings, everything of creation in this place as we gather here to give you glory. To Father, we open up our hearts. We open up our souls. We open up our eyes, our ears, our minds, so that you can come into us and you can change us. You can transform us. You can make us a new creation. Our desire is to reveal you to everybody in spirit and in truth, that the world and creation can see who the true Jesus is. He is the Almighty One. He is the God of the impossibles. He is the faithful One, the glorious One, the anointed One. He is the great I Am. And we pray it in the name above all names, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. We're going to talk a little bit on this time and the season that we are right in now. And if we look at the times and the seasons now, we'll see that a lot of people went through very difficult times in this year. You were challenged, basically in all aspects of your life. But this was a very important year. Very important is God is busy preparing you. He's busy stripping you of yourself. Because He wants to manifest it. It says in Romans 8 verse 19 that the whole earth are crying out, groaning, moaning for the sons of God to manifest. I know some translation says that the earth is tiptoeing, waiting for the sons of God. So there's a sound and a frequency, a vibration that the earth is releasing, because the earth and creation has got a desire to be restored in its original purpose and its original creation, where it was full of glory, where God created and said, and it's good. It means it's perfect. It's glory. It is gold. And then you must realize in Genesis 1:26, God created man. He created you and I. And He said it was good. Means it's perfect. It's gold. It is glory. I'm going to start with my first question. I love asking questions, but you answer yourself. Do you see yourself as good? Do you see yourself as gold, as perfect, as glory? Or should I ask you, do you believe God when He says He created you like that? Because that is a very important thing for this time and season. You need to take God seriously on His word when He said, I created you perfect. But the key is not to look in the natural, to don't look at your physical body, but to see yourself in the spirit, because you are created in His image. How can it not be perfect? How can it not be perfect? So we're in the season where God said, I'm coming to shake. He said, there's a new shaking coming. Most of you don't want to hear it. But this shaking is going to be a blessing, an absolute blessing. It depends. You know what? Shakings are probably one of the biggest gifts that God can ever give you. Because it always reveals the truth, and with His sound and frequency of His truth in you, and His holiness, His godliness in you, it brings everything to the forefront that is not of God. It exposes everything. So we see, we read in Hebrew 12 from verse 26, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion. He says, "The earth was rocked at the sound of His voice from the mountain, but now He has promised." So when God speaks, there is a reaction from creation. And in real terms, when God speaks, it should have a reaction from us. The question you need to ask yourself, how do you react to His promise, to His voice? And it says, "Once and for all, I will not only shake the systems of the world, but also the unseen powers in the heavenly realm." So what is God actually telling us? I'm coming to shake all of creation. So don't go in that place where you pity, have pity and everything, you feel sorry for yourself, I'm getting shaken. He's going to shake everybody. He's going to shake everybody. Now, this phrase, "once and for all," clearly indicates a final removal of things that are shaking. That is the old order, so only what is unshakable will remain. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights His heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe, for our God is a holy, devouring fire. I love it, it says. The final removal of things that are shaking. That means things that are not of God. Things that cannot stand the presence and the power of who God is. That is the old order. So only what is unshakable will remain. Isn't that a good thing? What did Daniel say? Daniel says, only those who know their God will keep on standing. So there's your key. Daniel already in the Old Testament basically referred to this scripture and said, hey, watch out, there's a shaking coming. Get to know your God that there will be nothing in you that are shakable. So that you'll be a solid pillar where God said, I created you to be a pillar in my temple. So what is God going to do? God is going to remove, He's going to shake everything out of you that stands between you and Him. That stands between you and reconciliation with Him. You and oneness with Him. You and the fullness of His covenant, the fullness of His promises, the fullness of His blessings, His nature, and His character in your life. So we're in that season now. And we were in Perth, and Todd and I and Jamie were sitting after one of our ministry sessions. We went for ice cream. So I'm having a great life. Went for ice cream and we sat and we are sitting outside at a table and there was a building with these pillars. And the next moment in the spirit, I saw Samson walking in. And Samson came and he stood between the pillars and he said, the Lord has called me to shake down and break down all pillars of religion. The old order. I'm going to shake it and I'm going to destroy it. I'm even going to shake churches that will shut down. So what do you need to do? You need to ask yourself, am I in religion or am I in the new order? Because the new order is where you came and you declared, and the new dispensation where you declared, Lord, it is not me living, but it's you living in me. I give you total freedom. Whatever you want, it's my desire. Are you in the new order? Before you go like this, zip first. Why? If you deny the spiritual world and the supernatural world, you can't be in the new order. Because how did God create you? He said, I created you as a spirit life-giving being. A life-giving spirit. So your inheritance, everything of your creation, comes out of the Spirit. So that is where you dwell, that's where you walk, that is where you rule from. Are you living from there? Or are we living in the natural? In the old order? Okay, so we're in the season, we're stepping into it. Now a lot of people come and they'll tell you, yes, and God is busy preparing us. He's really going to shake us, and I love it. Sometimes it's tough, it's hard, and it hurts and everything, but it's worth it. People, there's no sacrifice on earth big enough for Jesus. I can only tell you, I can tell you many things. I've been on deathbeds and everything. It is worth it. It's all I can say. People will tell you in 2020 is going to be a glorious year and it's revivals, and I just listen to the people. So I had an encounter about a month ago, maybe a little bit more, and where the Lord took me up in the heavens and He took me into creation and He took me into the future, where He showed me things. And He said, in 2020, I am resetting my children. What does He say in His word? You are a treasure set apart. You are a new creation. Where, because why? You are a building block, a stone of fire of the new Jerusalem. So what's He going to do? In 2020, He's coming to lay you in your position. He's going to put you in your position. He's going to lay the foundations of the new Jerusalem so that the glory and the fire of God can start falling from 2021. So from 2021, you can write it down and you can remind me if you want to in 2021. The fire of God's going to start falling. And those who are faithful, those who are lovers of God, will release the presence and the power of God, and God's going to start revealing Him through those people and those churches in a way never ever seen on earth. And I want to tell you now, it's your choice if you're going to be part of it. You can never come after and say, our church, or I didn't go through this, and God had nothing for me because of my pastor, because of my leaders, because of... What about you? Because you are also the church. Never just blame the pastors. We love to do it. You've got no excuse. None of us has got an excuse to blame somebody else if fire of God's not in you. Everybody builds its own relationship. So then Samson will come and struck down. And then we need to step in into the greater glory of God. And then the Lord took me to James 1. He said, in this season, there are things that we need to do. James 1 verse 12. If your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the unfold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. So what does God say? In this time, in verse 12, He said, you must come and you must faith. Because only through faith and joy, by staying and joy and being strong in your difficult times, you'll be able to survive and to move into a place where you receive your crown of glory. It means it's a crown of victory. It's a crown of life. It's a crown where you are glorified by God because you became one with Him. It's that the same principle that we always hear, what you touch, you become. So you actually become part of His crown. And then it goes on in verse 19 where He says, and this is also important for the season, that we mustn't just be mere talkers, but we must become doers of the word. So what needs to happen? You need to come and you step into a place of radical obedience. It's not a time to preach anymore. It's not a time to give good messages. It is a time to administrate and to demonstrate
Yeshua as it is in heaven. Didn't he say in Ephesians 5:1, imitate me, then you'll be imitating the Father. And that is what we should step in right now. We as sons of God should tell the people, just do what I'm doing because it's exactly what my Father in heaven are doing. So we're stepping into an amazing season for the lovers of God. A lover of God is somebody that has a first love, somebody that seeks His face every moment, every time, every second, even when they sleep. There's an outcry in the body. There's a sound and a frequency and a vibration that is released and crying out to be reunited with the one that gives life. That is what it's a lover of God. Lord, like David said, Lord, let your spirit never depart from me. It means, Lord, never leave me. Don't. I want to cleave to you. I never want to be separated from you. That passion and that desire. It's also a year of leadership where people's going to step into the fullness of leadership. And Proverbs 20 verse 28. Let me just get it for you. Good leadership is built on love and truth, for kindness and integrity are what keep leaders in the position of trust. So, again, love and truth. Love firstly, God is first, manifesting love as it is in heaven. And that is, I remember my spiritual father, Bob Jones, he wrote things and many things and always said, Jesus always asked the people in heaven, did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? And truth. The truth is, what you are displaying, what you are manifesting, what you are revealing, is it the truth of Christ?
Yes.
Yes, amen. He's got it. Is it the truth of Christ? And is there a desire in you to reveal Christ in truth? We're also in the season now where the Lord said, I'm raising up a generation of youth that will be radical, uncontrollable. They'll hit the earth like a tsunami in power. But they'll walk in the spirit and the supernatural, and they'll come at places, they'll be transported, transfigured, translated like never before. And they'll walk with so much wisdom and authority that they'll instruct and things will manifest. It's an amazing prophecy what the Lord gave upon the youth. But don't think because you're not a youth anymore, you can sit back and watch. We are supposed to be the revelation to the youth so that they could walk in it. We should live a lifestyle that gives the youth a desire and a passion to walk in the greater dimensions. So there will be pockets of youth rising up all across the world that will truly display God. The other thing that he told me is that it is the time and season where I'm coming to release spiritual technology. So that is things that God's going to start raising up a generation of hungry people, all ages. Doesn't matter how old you are. You might be in your 90s or 100, or you might be 10 or 3. God is looking for people that are hungry and willing to pursue Him, that He can take in all dimensions in space and all dimensions of creation, that He's going to start teaching them technology of creation to form, to build structures, to destroy, to uplift, to give life, to restore. So things going to supernaturally manifest and be placed in alignment. Why? Everything in creation are built with a plan, with a code. Everything in creation connects, forms a perfect puzzle or a perfect picture, if you want to put it, whatever you want to call it. And because of Adam and Eve's sin, that picture or that puzzle's been distorted. And the only thing that it can be restored is when the sound, the frequency, and the vibration of all creation gets restored. Because sound, frequency, and vibration forms. Black matter brings together. It comes and it gives it shape. It gives it form. Exactly in Genesis 1 when God spoke, sound, frequency were released. Holy Spirit hovered on it and it formed. So what we need to speak and to release is something, and that something are the words of God, so that the Holy Spirit can hover on it and give it life. So we're in that season of spiritual technology. That's, we think we've seen many things. We think that technology is, wow, could it get better? Can get much better. We've seen nothing yet. You know what's the reality? Everything about creation, everything about spiritual technology is already inside of you. There is nothing that is not in you. Now, things in Genesis 30 with Jacob, with the rods, with the sheep, with the stripes and everything, we know the whole story. That was the first and beginning of spiritual technology. Where God started giving us, that's nothing. Everything is inside of you. It's in your DNA. It's in your blood. It's in your scroll. But again, as I said in the beginning, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself in the natural? Or do you see yourself in the spirit? Yes. See yourself in the spirit. As Isaac says, why? He's got it. Because how big is your spirit? The Lord says, the earth is my footstool. Isn't the earth your footstool? And you created in the measures of God. Okay, then we go. Let's carry on. In the Jewish, in the Hebraic calendar, I just want to make it clear, I'm not a Jew. But we need to listen, because there are powers in the calendar and there are things that God created that has got value, has got authority, and has got God's blessing upon. We read that in this time and season that we stepped into now is the year 5780. Amazing year. Five, the number of grace, where God comes and said, my grace is still upon humanity. So he's still got grace upon you. So he's given us a chance to come into alignment. He's given us a chance to come in line. But don't push your luck, if I can put it that way. I had a guy the other day that I spoke to. And he said, yeah, he wants to commit his life for the Lord. But could I give him another 6 months? He first wants to enjoy life. Then he'll become a Christian. You see what is the viewpoint of people out there about Christians? They've got no fun. Which is wrong. I told him, man, you're missing out. What is better than to be translated, transported, transfigured, all those things happening with you, raising people from the dead, seeing miracles, signs and wonders, seeing in the spirit, seeing people's futures, seeing what people are thinking. What more fun do you want? You see, because we as Christians think suddenly we become Christians and we have these long faces. The old order, like in the traditional churches. We give the youth and the lost people no reason to come to Christ. Because it's not happening in our lives. You need to have those testimonies. I'm not trying to say I have it. That is your lifestyle. That's your natural life. So anyway, grace is upon us, and five is also the number of multiplication. Why? How many fishes? Five fishes. What happened? Multiplied. So what's going to happen now? There's a release and a blessing, a multiplication of God's blessings in all aspects of your life. Don't just ask for finances. First, it should be a multiplication of your love. The foremost and first of all, multiplication of the love of heaven inside of you. And then God's going to come and He's going to multiply. He's going to give you increase. He's going to blow you away with His goodness. 7 is the number of perfection. So we're stepping into that season of 7. We said, I want to restore you in perfection. And I'm going to use my sons to restore all of creation back into perfection. But it's also the number of rest. So what does God say? You need to go into my rest, into my perfect rest, which is the center of my heart, so that I can work in power through you. You have got no authority and power if you're not in a place of rest. Do you realize that? Because a place of rest means that God's got total freedom in you, that you know you can never lose. You're in victory all the time. And rest is also that I know I'm releasing God's word, so it's yea and amen, it forms. So rest takes you in a place where you're in awe and amazement of God. Now, just by the way, awe and amazement, for those who like spiritual things, are one of the biggest gates, portals, to move into the Spirit. It opens realms up for you to move and to see and to hear and to encounter God. 8 is the number for new beginning. So God is coming to do a new thing. What did we say in Hebrews? He said, I'm coming to shake, so that people get shaken out of the old order into the new order. So He's coming to give you a new beginning. Only if you allow Him to shake you. So shaking and new beginning goes together with prosperity. And it's not that we are pursuing money. But I want to make it clear. God will make some people billionaires and millionaires. Let's say, why do I say that? Who's going to influence those billionaires? If I had to go to Bill Gates and say, Bill Gates, you need to see my Jesus. Yeah? He blesses me abundantly. Yeah? Look at my house. Is there any reason for Bill Gates to look at my house? To go to Jesus? I'm going to influence him? No. Oh, I don't need your Jesus. But he's going to have people there that will become billionaires and millionaires. He needs it. He needs people that he can trust. So it's prosperity in financial world, but also prosperity in your spiritual world. We must stop to think only natural. Everything always starts and comes from the spiritual order. It's also the number of resurrection. So, everything that is dead in life, everything that you basically have lost, everything that you have written off or rejected or anything, God is coming to give it resurrection. And God is coming to use His sons and His daughters to resurrect all of creation. He's coming to give people the lost new life, salvation. We're going to see a stream of salvation happening now like never before. The millions and the billions coming in. Number 8 is also the prophetic gate. It's the opening up of the prophetic gate. So what's going to happen? We're stepping into the season of the prophetic like never before. And that is why in 1 Timothy 1 verse 18, Paul tells Timothy, do not neglect or reject your prophecies given to you by the laying on of hands. And I'm going to ask you, what have you done with your prophecies? Foretelling and forthtelling, telling you and calling you into your destiny, calling you into your future in the fullness of what God has created you to be. So it tells you what God wants to do for you, how He's going to do it for you, and what it's going to look like. So it takes you on a journey to pursue God. So, what have you done with your prophecy? It means, are your prophecies still alive or have you rejected them? So this is the season that you need to go back and look at your prophecies. Lord, I rejected, I denied this one because it didn't come in my timing. That's what we normally do. If it's not in our timing, we reject it. Ah, he's a false prophet. No, Lord, I repent of that. Your timing is perfect, but I ask you to breathe into this prophecy. I call in it and I step into it. Remember, with every prophetic word, action needs to take place from your side. It's not just, I'm waiting on the Lord. You need to step in. You need to make it your own. You need to react on the voice of God. It says what I said with the shaking, that all of creation responds to God's word. You are part of creation. So we need to respond when the King speaks. So we need to step into the prophetic, and your prophetic is a daily thing. It's like today, and sure, did everybody prophesy over themselves? I see a few. Only a few, not even 10. You need to prophesy over yourself every day, your calling, your purpose, your destiny, which God has revealed. Every day, because you need it. It's a season of blessing. And God wants to use you as a blessing to bless others. God wants to use you as a blessing to reveal that He's a faithful God, that He's a God of yea and amen. He's a God of the impossibles. Okay. 80 is a numerical number of the Hebraic letter pay. And pay is the means it is the mouth or the breath of God. Mouth and breath. In the first decade, in the 70s, 5770 to 5779, it was the decade of the Ayin. Ayin is a Hebraic letter, and its numerical value was 70. And that was the decade of the eye. What happens now? Listen how amazing God is. Now we're stepping into the place where it says, what the eye has seen, the mouth is going to speak and it's going to manifest. So if you've got a pure heart, it means that you've seen and now you're going to speak it and it's done. So, because the breath of God is on it, and if the breath of God is on it, it means your words will never fall to the ground. Finished. So, we're in the mouth now. What is in your heart comes out here. That's very important in this time, that your heart needs to be in unity with God. So we need to step into this place, because we need to see to speak the words of God. So we need to know that in this time and season, it's a place where people are going to stand up in spiritual leadership. God's going to restore people in this decade and this season now into spiritual leadership. Listen to what I'm saying. Spiritual leadership. Why? He makes it clear in Ephesians 6:12. Your war and everything's not in the natural, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And it's time that we get that reality sunken into our head. It's in the spirit. It starts in the spirit. Everything starts in the spirit. So spiritual leadership's going to come to the forefront, where you're going to get people rising up, stepping to the forefront, and bringing a generation of people with them, stepping in, and they're going to be powerful instruments here on the earth, manifesting it. It's also in the season they'll do it in peace. It's also in the season that we're stepping in this leadership position in peace. Because people's going to hear and see clearly. They've got peace of what they've seen and heard, and they know it's a will of the Father. The only time that you can have true peace, if you know you're in the will of the Father. Otherwise, there's no peace in you. It's a false peace. Then it's also, we're stepping in a season of perfect order. It means that we're going to be calculated. We're going to get focused. We're going to step into the timing of God. We're going to walk and work in perfect order. No chaos. When Jesus multiplied the fish, when he called the people and he called the people together with the disciples, what was his first thing that he did? Please call them in groups. The one part was of 50s and the other one part of 70s. First got order. Then the multiplication and the blessing come. So what do you need to do? It's a season that you know you need to be in perfect order. That means, is your house in order? That's where order starts. Your relationships, your love, everything of your house. Is it a representation of God? Your relationships, your children, everything there, is it a place where God gets revealed in? That's where it starts. Then you go to your work and your ministry and everything. And that's also the season and the time where the people, there's a generation that will rise up in the true apostolic calling. What's an apostle? It's a special messenger. So, do you need to be a church leader to be apostolic? No. Apostle is somebody that moves in the fullness of the fivefold. So God is going to call on people in apostolic calling, a generation that will walk in the power, that will display the fullness of God. And it says in Ephesians 4 that the fivefold ministry there until maturity. Not forever, until maturity. Because in Hebrew 8, we go further, I think it's Hebrew 8, 11, where it said there's a time and season coming where we're not going to preach anymore. We're not going to teach anymore. Why? Because when we're in maturity, it means that we step immediately in the fullness of the revelation of Christ. What does it mean? You and I are going to just walk, people are going to look at us and they're going to see Christ in us. They're going to see Christ and say, whoa, we want your Jesus. That's how salvation is going to take place. Maturity, because you're going to walk in the revelation of Jesus. You're going to walk in the glory. Maturity. How mature are you? Remember, let's just touch on this quickly. In your prayer life, in your intercession life, how much of your prayers have been fulfilled? Not a lot, be honest. Not a lot. Why? Because creation, all of creation, responds only to your level of maturity. Your maturity is according to your position in heaven. There are different levels in heaven, different positions. Just like in the natural, that you've got workers, you've got general workers, junior management, senior management, and hierarchy to your directors, CEOs, everything. The same is in the spirit. Because can you imagine if we were not immature and God had to come today and he gives you billions of dollars, everything's available. Be honest. I think all of us will go to hell. We have not got the maturity to administrate and to steward it. That's why he gives you levels, platform, places of maturity. And earth and all of creation responds according to your position and the maturity that you are in Christ. Okay. If we look at the letter pay, it's got to do with creation as well. It's got to be with the bait as well. The letter bait, it says, in the beginning, bait. It's the second letter of the alphabet, of the Hebraic alphabet. Why did he start with the second letter in the alphabet and not with the aleph? Because God's the aleph and the tough. Here he starts the word, he said, in the beginning, in the bait. Bait is, in the beginning, it means in the Hebraic and the Greek and Aramaic means house. God created the heaven and. So he goes. Who's the house of God? We are. If you go and look at the letter, you'll see it's like a U more or less. The east side, the west side, and the south side are fold. But the north is open. So your house, you are a temple of God. You are a house of God. What happens now? I go in salvation, resurrection, born from above. What do? Lord, I need the Aleph. The beginning and end to become my roof, my ark, my covering. You need God to come and cover your house. Because it's then a house of glory. We know the principle. What is above always comes down. Now you've got the fullness of glory covering you, arcing over you, and you become a house of glory. And you need to invite God, the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end, the was, the is, and is to come. To come over you. What happens to you? As soon as He's over you and covering you, you become the was, the is, the beginning, because you are one with Him. You see what authority and power comes towards you then. So we're in the season now that Psalm 86, verse 11 and 12 are so important. It's a daily declaration and desire. It should be a daily declaration and desire now. Lord, show me and teach me your ways so that I could glorify you. Verse 12, from now on, everything I do, I will glorify you. Because what happens when we're in God's ways? It means you are in His blessing. You are in His fullness. He is presence. It means you're in total obedience. And when you're in total obedience, listen carefully, it commands a manifestation of God. Obedience commands a manifestation of God because He has to come and manifest His word. Always. That should be a desire in you. And in Psalm 27, verse 4 to 6, where David speaks, he said, Lord, you said, seek my face. Your face. I seek. It means I pursue it with my whole being. I destroy everything that comes in between your face and me. Are you that radical for God? Are you that radical for God? And that is why we need to step in this time and season. It's going to be an amazing season. It's going to be an amazing year. And I'm just going to touch on one more thing before we're going to prophesy and before we're going to lay hands and impart and activation and things. I had in the last 3 months a lot of encounters with Enoch. A lot of spiritual encounters, a lot of things of Enoch where I got taught and everything. And I want to give you the key to, and this is going to help you. Why I'm releasing it, I want you to step into the victory, to encounter it, to walk in the fullness of God, to step into this new season, in the new order, in the new blessing, in power and authority. So it says in Hebrews 11:5, we all know it in Genesis 4:24, it says that Enoch walked and he walked no more. Okay. Hebrews 11 verse 5. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven. So, because of what? Because of faith. Faith means you are radical obedient. Faith means it doesn't matter what God tells you, you do it. It doesn't matter what His words are, you believe it. You never question it. God speak, you act. And that is what Enoch did. He made a decision in his faith. I will follow this voice. I will follow this person, Jesus. Nobody will come in between it. And we've got keys because we must be honest with ourselves. We haven't got the full measure of faith always. I've seen it. I see it a lot. So I travel the world and I do crusades and I take some teams with me. And you might have thousands of people standing in front of you and the prayer lines, and they stand and then everybody prays with passion. And then suddenly somebody pushes a wheelchair or a blind person or a dead body in front of you. What does that mean? Then I'll look at my team. What do they do as soon as they see the wheelchair or a dead person? They look the other way. They have not seen the wheelchair. They have not seen the body. And afterwards, some of them will come to you. Have you seen the dead person? Did you see the wheelchair? Or they'll come and ask you to come and pray. Whatever. Lack of faith. Lack of trust. Lack of faith and trust is actually a lack of knowledge and intimacy with God. Knowing God. So Galatians 2:20 gives us the key. Where we must just step, as I said, is a season of truth. And Lord, my faith is not enough. But I step into your faith. It is good enough. I step into your faith. So what did Enoch do? He trusted God. He lived in God's faith. And then it says, and he was transferred to heaven. It means that he got reunited, reconciled in Christ. He became one. Reconciliation is the result of atonement. Reconciled, it means it's the end of estrangement, separation, caused by sin between God and humanity. Okay. So what happens now? He got reconciled, became one. So it means when you reconcile with God, you take on His form, His image, His nature, and His character. You become a mirror image. Transferred to heaven so that he did not have a glimpse of death. And here's your key. So I'm in heaven. We're talking. Enoch starts teaching me about why he got transfigured, translated, and everything. And he asked me the question, what is death? I said, well, the body dies. No. Sin is death. Curses, slander, gossip. Everything of the devil is death. He said death could not touch him. Why? Enoch's words, I am so in awe and amazement of God, I could never take my eyes off him. I just gazed upon him all times that I could not see any sin, any darkness, any curse, any sickness, any disease, anything wrong around me. I became one with God. What happens then? Your whole body, your soul, your spirit takes on the form of God. It means it releases glory. It releases the sound, the frequency, vibration of heaven, which darkness cannot touch. You become untouchable. You're creating a platform, a revelation of Jesus. You're creating a mirror image of God around you. And what happens? Where God sees a reflection of himself, he goes to. And that is what Enoch did. He was not consumed by the world. He kept his eyes on God. Why? God was his first love. And to step in that dimension, we need to restore Jesus. We need to restore Yahweh as your first love. And he was not found because God has translated him. Says he was not found. Now listen to this. Then Enoch asked me, if you are reunited in God, where are you? I said, in heaven. I said, and? I said, in heaven. He said, isn't God in heaven and earth at the same time? Said, yes, you're right. He said, so where do you think I am? Heaven and earth on the same, because wherever God moves, you move. You're inside of him. Then he took it further. He said, but man's eyes, because when you translate it up in heaven, walk no more. When you become one with Christ, that means you take on your original form, you're back in spiritual form. Back in a form of glory. He said, but man did not see me on earth at all, or in heaven, in spirit or in the natural, because their hearts were so defiled with sin, they could not see me. Now, just to put it in perspective, we've got spiritual eyes. Do we see in heaven and earth? For sure. But Israel was so in sin, they could not even see him walking in heaven and earth, because God walks in heaven and earth at the same time. We need to become like the Enochs. But what we need most of all is to become lovers of God. First lovers. So that we step in the dimension, because God created us to rule, to represent Him over creation, to rule in heaven and earth. He said, you will come and rule in my house. You will come and rule in my courts. He's already given you in Genesis 1 instruction to rule on the earth. What are we doing about it? This is a time and season where that's going to be restored here in God's lovers. The people that has Him as first love. And it's not just for some. It is for everybody. It is for everybody. The question is, what are we as individuals going to do about it? The way that you're going to pursue Him is the way that you're going to receive. According to the measure of your expectation as well is what you're going to receive. That measure or way will always be centered on your measure of love. Nothing else. How much do you love?
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.